Hi, I'm Michelle Sawatsky-Coop. And once again, welcome to Heroes in Our Midst, brought to you by Elite Sports Injury. With five locations in Winnipeg, they are here to help when we need physiotherapy or massage therapy. Your body's worth it. Make the time for yourself. Today's episode is all about Alexa Scott. Alexa is a long track speed skater who is at the top of her game. She competed at the 2022 Olympic Games in Beijing, China, where she finished 12th. She's a two-time Canadian junior champion, a three-time Canada Winter Games gold medalist. She's won junior World Cup medals, a World Cup medal, and she's only 21 years old. Now, when people do things like Alexa is doing, especially getting to an Olympic Games, most people want to know how you did that. What's the story? What made it possible? And especially cool to know from Alexa, because she is current. She is training and competing as we speak. So she knows sport now and all the challenges that come along with that. And speaking of challenges, well, for Alexa, that went far beyond the track. But that story is best coming from her. So I asked her to share her story with us, and no better way to do that than to start at the beginning.
Okay, I'm from like small town rural Manitoba. Like that's pretty much my background. And when I was a kid, my mom, unfortunately, was like quite sick most of my life. So she had a kidney transplant right when I was born. So it was almost like advantageous for my parents to have me in things to run all my energy off. Because of course I have this little kid and my mom's dealing with this health issue. So the energy of this little kid had to be expended somehow. Like my mom just didn't have the energy to run after me all the time. And like my dad was, of course, he building his own business and that. So we were a tight knit family, but my parents were also trying to like help themselves out by helping me out. So I've always been involved in a lot of sports, but small town rural Manitoba in the early 2000s, you did t-ball, you did soccer. Yeah. T-ball was a little too much standing around, so I did soccer. And then you did hockey if you were a boy, and you did figure skating if you were a girl. So I did figure skating.
Okay.
And that's how I kind of got started in the whole like skating thing. And I remember like figure skating, and I wasn't particularly like great at it. I didn't love the whole idea of that sport. It just wasn't for me, but I was like, I want to go to the Olympics. I was like, this looks cool. Like, this is something I wanted to do. Even when I was a figure skater, like figure skating never really connected with me. And I never really understood why, because right. Of course you're like little. And I was like six. And I did figure skating in that whole soccer thing for a few years. And it was like, just like classic, like kid runs, kid learns how to swim, kid learns how to skate, like normal kid things, I guess, in the early 2000s. And when I was about nine, my figure skating coach saw that I loved to like skate, but didn't like love to do the tricks and stuff like that, and devote my time to like learning how to spin and stuff like that. I love to like skate fast. I love to get through my programs fast, because I like being fast at something, like to me, was like, oh, I'm winning if I'm going fast. So she recommended I go try speed skating. So
I was living in Burden, and I was training in Brandon. I was nine, and that commute was okay for my parents, because obviously they were working for themselves. And then after that year of trying speed skating, we decided to move north of the city. And just the amount of like rec centers and like just the availability of like training ice and that stuff was just way easier living that north of the city. So I got to skate like a lot more, and that really like helped me with my career. Of course, it was like a little bit advantageous, because like, we were also living north of the city. My mom was like going to the doctor in the city quite often. So like that was like more handy and stuff like that. So we had like a little more energy as a family too. So
now as a kid, like obviously you could tell, I guess, that your mom was dealing with extra challenges as a mom, even compared to other kids' moms. Like, did that affect you when you were little?
I think it really started to affect me when I kind of went through puberty, because you go through this like time in like your life where like as a kid, everything's really centered around you. You feel like your parents like really give, they're living for you, you know, like you don't really realize that everyone else has other like lives. But like when I was going through puberty, I wanted so bad for like everyone to like to have that like kind of attention, because I like felt like I was like, I wanted my parents to like be there and like support me, because I was going through all these changes. But my mom also, around like 13, that was when she started to get sick again, and she like went through another like kidney failure and was going to have to get another transplant, and she got put on the list, and she was going through dialysis, and we were going to have to like be in the city with her hooked up to dialysis. And you kind of like go through this like crisis in your life, mm-hmm. where you're like, your mom's not doing well. So like you're scared of losing her because you're going through changes as like a young girl. Like I need my mom, yeah. like plain and simple, to explain to me like all the things I need to learn as a woman. And mm-hmm. I wasn't sure if she was going to be there. Mm-hmm. And then like you kind of just survive for a little bit, right? Because you're like, I need to be there for my mom. I need to be there for my dad. Like we're all kind of stressed at the same amount. And then as you get like a little bit older and we like got out of like the really dangerous, like do or die phase. And it was like, I went through this kind of phase where I was like, I felt like I missed out on like kind of like that, like being young and being like not having to like worry about things. Yeah. But like my parents were always there for me. So I guess like that was fortunate that my dad worked for himself. So he was always available to be there when I like needed him and that kind of stuff. But, and my mom was obviously like when I got my license, she would like come to practice, but I would drive. So it like would take a lot of stress off her. So having her around was definitely super, super nice. So it was like when you look at it from the like outside in, like there's definitely really good parts and there's like really like obviously terrible parts. Like you went through like grief of like losing and you were just like scared and you weren't like in the moment, you're not even like sure if you can be scared to lose this person because you're like, that's almost giving up. Like you're like, no, I need to like keep going because she needs me. So yeah, I think that's kind of like, yeah, I definitely can notice that people weren't going through what I was going through, but like, it was like in a weird roundabout way. Like I never really thought about like people not going through it. When you look back at it, you're like, I guess like people don't just go through this.
Yeah. Well, it must be interesting for you looking back now as an adult, you're sort of going, wow, that was, you know, if you look at a 9-year-old now or a 10-year-old or even like a young teenage girl and you go, well, I don't know that I necessarily want her to have to go through that. And I mean, you lived through that and you survived that. So when you went skating, was that sort of a time where you could like just do your own thing and forget about that a little bit or?
Yeah. Skating was always like an outlet for me, I think. I obviously, my dad was a contractor by trade and he was always a perfectionist. So obviously that kind of like nurture by nature, like I became a perfectionist through him. So I always wanted to be the best at it. And I never wanted to have to miss anything because it was like my time to like be selfish, I guess. And like, as a kid, like you crave that like selfish time, like it's about me. So I definitely like that was my outlet for sure. And I was like lucky enough to have like great coaches. I had a great coach and him and I had like a great relationship. So it was almost like when I was in skating and I had like that relationship, like that trust with him and that kind of stuff. Like I was only asking him about skating, but it was almost like validating, you know, cause like the answer is right there right away. Like, whereas like, I would have to like wait to like ask my parents like questions about like getting rides to practice and stuff. But you would like, wait for like a more like, okay time. Like not when my mom's like having dialysis, cause you don't want to stress her out and that kind of stuff. But like in a training environment, like it was like immediate feedback. And I like love that, like that immediate, like, this is what I want to do. Like, how am I doing it? And then like the feedback and then to fix it right then. So yeah, that was definitely really skating. Just like helped me a lot for sure. Yeah.
Amazing. I never would have thought of that. You know, like how you as a young child really had to learn more patience than most ever have to learn. That's one of the things children are the worst at. Right. And just reading really like, in a very serious way, reading the room, right? Like, hey, I can't ask now. I got to wait till later. And in this environment now, so you have this great coach and you start going. And did you notice right away, were you faster than other kids your age? At this point, could you start seeing that this was going to be a thing for you? And talk about your training there and how that went.
Yeah, from like the beginning, the first day, I kind of like could tell that I was going to be good at this. Yeah. Because I had a lot more drive, a lot more, like I was a lot more coachable than most other like kids, like younger. It's hard in a training like environment when you're young to like, for kids not to have that immediate like reward of like being faster immediately. Right. But like, I kind of like, as a younger kid, like trust the process. And I just like enjoyed like moving and I enjoyed like having that freedom and that kind of stuff. So that definitely helped me a lot. And as I got older, I was definitely like getting faster. And I definitely always like wanted to win. I always had this drive to win. I spent a lot of the first years of my life when I was in competitive sport, like skating like national events, like as in below junior, like just like a little kid. Like I spent a lot of those times not winning. I would be on the podium almost all the time, but I would never win. And that was like, it was kind of like that. I always had that push to be on the top of the podium. And like, I always wanted to be like I always wanted to be the best. I wanted to be the best I could be. And I thought, like, even if I was at the top of the podium, that's not the best I can be. Mm-hmm. Like, I always strove for perfection. Like, a world record is like perfection. So, like, you have to, like, keep going until that moment. And yeah, it was definitely a lot of that as a young kid in my junior career. I'm sure, like, a lot of people would, like, tell you in my junior career that, like, maybe I was a little too hard on myself because I always wanted it to be better. And like that, I came down hard after my junior career, like, which is only like 2 years ago, but because I wanted so bad to be junior champion. Like, I was willing to sacrifice everything. I didn't have a lot of friends in school because I was so committed to training. I didn't go to school that often because I was always out here in Calgary training. I was all in for that. And I actually got really, really sick. Like, pre-COVID, got really sick in, like, Minsk, Belarus, of all places. And we flew to Poland for the Junior World Championships, and I was ill. I was so ill. I remember the doctor, like, coming up to me after my race, and he, like, my coach was there, and she's like, she's really pale. Like, is she okay? And, like, Tyler's like, yeah, she's fine. She's fine. Like not because I was fine. I was getting over the sickness, but I was just, like, I was tired. I couldn't eat because we were in a foreign country, and nothing tasted that good. And I was just, like, at the bottom of the barrel. Like, I was already, like, giving up on myself pretty much. And it was definitely a big learning curve. Like, I got third at that competition, and then I got a junior world championship medal. So obviously, like, it is what I wanted, like, and I wanted more, but, like, your junior career is only, like, so important. Like, I'm not going to tell any kid that's, like, going through juniors that, yeah, juniors isn't important, because of course it is. Like, it's a great stepping stone. It's a great tool, but, like, you got, like, as many years of senior as you want after this. And, like, seniors, where you, like, prove yourself or whatever. Like, junior is just, like, kind of preparing you for that. So I've definitely always been, like, driven and pushed myself.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. Even I can hear it in the passion in your voice, how much you wanted it. And so who was your coach at this time?
Tyler Williamson Dara.
And what was the dynamic between you two? Like, did he have to sort of go, okay. Like, you always wanted to go fast, and you always, were there some technical things he had to sort of, you know, did he have to ever hold the reins, or how do you remember him working with you to not only be fast, but actually to be technically good enough to be the fastest?
Yeah, for sure. Tyler and I always had, like, a great, like, athlete coach relationship. Like, kind of like, if you, like, worked hard in practice, he'd, like, reward that. And if you came up to him and asked questions, he'd, like, provide you feedback. Like, he always had time for everyone. Mm-hmm. And I just was a kid that in my younger years, I asked a lot of questions. I wanted to be better. He definitely, like, answered all my questions, and we, like, worked together, and we had, like, a great, like, plan going. Like, I know, like, one of my good teammates that we went to the Olympics together, Tyson, like, he asked a lot of questions and Tyler answered a lot of them, and it helped him a lot technically. So for sure, like, there definitely was, like, times where Tyler, like as a, like, an athlete, you, like, have these times where you're, like, really, like, self-focused, and, like you can almost, like, be, like, self-debilitating in a way, because you're just, like, so worried about being the best and that kind of stuff, and you're, like, almost, like, too hard on yourself. And Tyler would definitely, like, reel that in and, like, remind me of what we're working towards, our process and that kind of stuff. And that definitely, like, helped a lot. It also helped a lot as I, like, became a junior to a senior, and, like, because that process, like, you always being able aware of your own process definitely helps you a lot when you're, like, traveling on the road and that kind of stuff, because, like, some of the times, like, we have big teams, and, like, you have to be aware of yourself. Like, yeah, your coach is always there, and, like, but if you're aware of what you wanted to do, then it just makes everything a lot easier, because then you can, like, directly talk to your coach like that, which is a great thing for, like, junior athletes to, like, learn, like learn your own process and, like, how to, like, deal with it yourself. But Tyler always, like, was there to, like, support me when I was, like, having a rough time, and, like, he understood, like, what I was going through with my mom being sick and that kind of stuff, and he was always there, like, to, like, support me, and he, yeah, it was great.
So goes beyond just telling you how to mm-hmm. put your foot, one foot in front of the other, but really literally in your life, right? Helping you put one foot in front of the other. So all through mm-hmm. juniors, were you training in Winnipeg? Were you training in Manitoba? You could stay in Manitoba?
Yeah, I chose to stay in Manitoba until the end of my juniors because I had such a good relationship with Tyler and we had such a good thing going. I didn't want to do a disservice to him by, like, leaving and, like, ending my last year of juniors with someone else. Like, his, like, partnership with me was always, like, I value that super highly. Also that year, my mom was getting her second kidney transplant. So being home to, like, help out with that, help my dad, that was definitely, like, something that was, like, important to me. And, like, I was able to be there. So yeah, I had the opportunity to stay. I could have moved out earlier. And actually, like, I planned my whole high school career around being able to graduate a year early so I could move out a year early, which I would have moved out 2 years earlier than when I actually did, but I ended up not doing that. So
yeah, life situation really dictated some of that for you, and good for you for standing by your mom. And maybe it was a no-brainer for you, but still, I certainly a sacrifice was made, but one that was, you know, just made sense for you. Now in 2020, when you were so sick at those juniors and you came away with the bronze medal, do you remember, can you walk us through that race? Like on the start line, were you totally feeling sick and not, I mean, to come away with a bronze medal is incredible. Even when you're 100% healthy, you did this really with this extra challenge.
So like the bronze medal, like the way you get it and the way I got it was like the overall. So you had to race four distances and like the combined time in a really complicated way to explain, like gets you the bronze medal. So I had to race all four distances, which was like, that was going to be hard. And the first day I was feeling like, I was still feeling quite sick. Like I got really bad food poisoning and I wasn't able to eat all week. So I had a very limited like glycogen store, I guess. Mm. So like my sprints were like a little bit better because like I ran energy like at the end of them. Like my 500 was fine. I was never like a 500 meter skater. That's the shortest distance. I was more of a mid distance skater. I still am, but yeah, it was all right. The 1500, I remember like looking at the Dutch girl I was racing and I like looked at her and I was sitting on this mat and I was just like, I feel awful. And I like put my head between my legs and I threw up and I was like, it's fine. And this girl's just like looking at me like, this girl's insane. She's like next level. And I went to the line and I raced and it was like probably one of like, I've never had a good junior championship 15. That's my best distance. And for some reason it never worked out. So yeah, I had that moment. And then the next day I was just mad because obviously like all this like time and energy I spent like through the years, like I didn't go to school. I didn't have a lot of friends. I put all these sacrifices and I was like, wow, this like really sucks. So I had like quite a good 1,000 meter actually, because I was just like mad. And I was like, I'm just going to beat this person I'm racing against because like it's her problem apparently that I'm like having this hard time. And like the 3K was just about survival. And like I survived and I got third. And it was definitely a lot. My dad was there. So I had him and I remember being like, I crying to him because I was like, I'm so sorry you had to come and like watch this disaster. And he was like Alexa, like, I wanted to be here. Like, I want to be here to support you, of course. So like, blah, blah. And he was like, so proud of me. So yeah, like we had that and we made it through the weekend and it was a lot.
Incredible. So it's interesting to me that, you know, I know, and I understand having been an athlete and I get the difference between the gold and the bronze. It's massive. And what drives you is that gold medal. And for sure, the people listening and myself sitting here, I'm thinking, well, a bronze medal at a world championship, Alexa, is pretty darn good. But I suppose the good thing is that you still need something to drive you forward. And obviously something still was. So you got healthy again, you got rid of whatever food poisoning you had, and you come back home and your junior career, I suppose, is done. Now, what's the jump from junior to senior? I'm guessing not everyone makes it and you did. And what made it possible, do you think, for you to make that next step? And how did that go?
It was just like a few like unfortunate things like happened after another, I guess. So I got sick. I got the bronze medal immediately touching down in Edmonton. After that trip, I had learned my uncle had passed away and I was very like close with him. So obviously that was like debilitating. And I was like still trying to push for these like national junior records. And I was like exhausted and that kind of stuff. So I flew to Calgary and that's when the world like shut down. Like the pandemic hit, everything got shut down and I wasn't able to race for those junior national records. So I thought nothing could get worse than this. Like I was at the lowest of lows going into my senior career. And we pushed forward. I moved out here because I always knew like it was kind of just like second nature. Like it's like kind of like after the Olympics, a lot of like athletes retire, but they don't know where to go. So they keep going back to the training facility because they don't know where else to do. I was like, okay, and my next step was to move out to Calgary. So I moved out there and I started training with the team. And that was this rough summer. My grandfather died. So the two closest men in my life besides my dad had passed away in a very short period of time. And I was like, wow, this is hard. I'm emotionally drained, this kind of stuff. And I was like, pandemic just hit. And I'm like, I'm taking a year off school. So I took a year off school. And I'm training with the team. And like, we have the most amazing girls on our team. Like, I honestly think that we have like the best speed skating team in the world. Like Isabel Weidman, obviously, like everyone knows her now. she's a Team Canada flag bearer, like super successful, bronze, silver, and a gold medal. Valerie Malte, like multi, like short track and long track medalist, just like amazing people on our team. And having them around was definitely super great. So I had like a little time to like train and like learn from those big girls and learn through this year. Last year, of course, like it was still the pandemic. We selected a very small team to go to World Championships. Since I wasn't part of the World Championship team the year before when I was a junior, like I wasn't considered for being sent. So I spent a lot of time training with like a very small group. It was me and this other girl, Madison Pierman, and most of the time. And the Calgary Oval broke down last year, just to add fuel to the fire. But yeah, it's just like when you say it out loud, like in order, you're like, wow, a lot of things went wrong last year. But so we were training out of Red Deer. I skated my Canada Winter Games there. I had a very successful Canada Winter Games. So I love training Red Deer. Maddie's from just north of Red Deer. So like it was us and then two boys on our team. Okay. And we were training like the four of us together. And like the boys would like to skate like their own thing because they when everyone else goes to World Championships, usually they get a little bit of time to like skate by themselves. And Maddie and I were like, we're going to skate together. And just like having her around was huge. Like it was just her and I. We still had great coaching and everything. We were like making do. It was like this adversity, but it was like kind of just like having someone directly there. Like, and I had her back and she had my back, and that was it. Like we only had each other, and that was all we had to really like worry about. And like it really like made like a good experience for me out of like what was mostly bad. Like COVID was bad for everyone. We weren't at World Championships, so obviously that's like super sad, and like we're like training in like not the like best scenario, but like whatever. It wasn't that much different from living in Winnipeg, actually. Like I was still skating outside, so I felt like almost a connection to home. I was still a long commute, so it's just like my body took it fine. So it was definitely like maybe like not like, now that you look back at it, and maybe not going to the World Championship that year was almost like a benefit, because you got this like training block in. And like I got to spend the first year of my senior career like building myself up, like taking myself out of like the worst experience possible in my life, like compiled. And I definitely had this like opportunity to like come back stronger and come back more driven. So yeah, like I came into like my first senior year where we would be able to fight for spots and that kind of stuff, like in a better like spot, like with my like body, like for sure. Cause I did this huge training block. Right. So, but then you don't race for a year. So you almost like forget what it's like to race.
Yeah.
So like this year, like I feel like every World Cup, like, this is my first World Cup. So I did four World Cups, four senior World Cups. And it was like almost like learning how to race again. And I feel like by the time I got to the Olympics, because we selected our team off of World Cup, I guess, points or whatever, like how you did at the World Cups. Yeah. And I got selected. I was super fortunate for that. By the time I got to the Olympics, I was almost like back at that place where I felt like I was before the pandemic, before all this adversity, before all this stuff. And I like tunnel vision kind of thing, like this like great goal. I felt the most like myself that I had in a long time. Mm-hmm. I had like almost like a breakthrough. And my individual race at the games was the best race I had ever skated in my life. It was the best international finish I've ever had. I was 1.3 seconds off the podium. The podium was full of girls that I had looked up to for years. Like Miho Takagi is amazing Japanese skater. Yuta Leerdam, I went to juniors with her like way back. And she, of course, is super strong, great. She's the face of Door for right now. Like she's obviously has a super successful career. And like Brittany Bowe, which like I, like a lot of people know who she is. She's a great American skater, like does huge things for like the LGBTQ community. Like she is a great person. So like they're great people. They skated super fast. They deserve it more than the world. But being that close to all those great people, great athletes, like definitely like makes you like feel good after like this years you've had before that. So it was super, super great pushing the senior, feeling like you're a senior, like racing with seniors, and you deserve to be there. So
amazing. And you're just right there. You're right there. And you know, right? You have time. You have years ahead of you to not just chase these girls, but to skate like alongside them, which you were doing. Bring me back a little bit to that year of COVID. That was the Red Deer time, right? Mm-hmm. And here you were training with Maddie, this teammate of yours. What did the day-to-day look like? How did you guys push each other and yourselves to actually not fall into, well, we don't compete all this year. Let's just skate. Let's get fit. How do you think you kept that up?
Definitely the way like our program set up for young women definitely helps us a lot. Like we have a few of the boys on the team and like skating with the boys sometimes, like that was almost like a race. Cause like, you're like a little bit over speed, like their 80% is definitely like 105% for you. So it was definitely like very helpful to have them. It was like kind of funny cause that year of COVID, I think like Maddie will probably agree with me. Like that was probably one of the most fortunate years of our life. Cause like we had this like great relationship together. We spent a lot of time on the road together and it helped me having her there. I don't know if it helped her, but I'm going to say yes. And to the two boys that like stayed and were skating with us, like Maddie is dating one of them now. And the other one is my boyfriend. So like it was definitely like super fortunate. Like we have like this great support now. And like, we probably would have never like had that opportunity to spend that time alone with them if like this hadn't have happened. So it was super great. So having that like little community, like we definitely could push ourselves. Also like Maddie's dad and mom are like, mom especially like worked with the Red Deer Club and that kind of stuff, I think. And she was like super great. Like they would set up races for us. And like, so we were racing some, and it was just like, it was definitely like super great to have like those like kind of like smaller goals. Like you could work on things more, skating with the boys. It was super fun. Also like when you skate outside, you could take everything with a grain of salt. So you can't like take time as like, is it good or is it bad? It's like, do you feel good that day? And that like goes a lot further than like the actual time. So that definitely helped a lot.
I love that. A little bit of a different focus and a, you know, and you talk about how much fun you had. And I think that had to have been crucial because in your life at the time, a lot of things weren't fun. A lot of things weren't coming up as fun. And I mean, all of us were in COVID. We were struggling to find the positives and any bright light in that time. That wasn't something that was taken away from us. And that sounds really cool. And what a great community you had around you. So then let's talk about qualifying for the Olympics. Was there a moment that you knew? You said, I know, you kind of went to four World Cups and it was based on that. But was there a time when you knew you had enough to be an Olympian?
Yeah. The thing that was like the hardest with like the four World Cups is we're seeing the World Cups to qualify spots for the Olympics.
Okay.
So I definitely knew where I shaped up with the girls from my own country, but it was just like, how many spots are we going to be allocated? So 8 of us ended up going. We could have had a max of 9 spots. So I was like, well, if we have 9 spots, then I make it easy. If we have 8 spots, I still think I'm gonna make it, but we have less than that. That's like a little worrisome. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really know like where I, like if I was going for sure. Every time I like kind of like talk to like coaches or whatever, obviously they can't tell you because they don't actually know how everything's in shape up, but they're like, I don't think you should be worried. I don't think you should be worried. And that made me more worried because I don't like things that aren't in my control. So right. I was sitting here, it was like around the new year, anyways, like New Year's. And we were waiting for this freaking email because of course, in the world of COVID, everything was done by an email and we're like waiting. And the email came through and like I was on the team and I just started like crying. And my parents were here because they'd come out because we had a little tough time, like the end of the World Cups, I was pretty tired. And then like we were getting this Olympic announcement and it was like nerve wracking. And I had flown to Quebec City to skate the championships to skate off for the Olympics. And then there was a huge COVID outbreak in the Oval in Quebec. So we had to cancel that. So I spent 30 hours in an airport. I flew there just to get the email, go to the front desk, buy another ticket, fly home. So I was like pretty tired and everything. And my parents, like I'm an only child. My parents are like semi-retired. So they can like come out. So my parents were here and I'm just like crying, like freaking out. And like, that was when the first moment I knew I was like going to go. And like for sure. And it was like, you almost like don't believe it. And like, of course, like you're crying, but you don't really understand why you're crying. And like the other girls like know that they're going too, because we all get the same emails. So the girls are like sending you like things and you like feel super great. And yeah, it was just like, it was a lot. But then there was also like all the uncertainty because you're like, oh my God, like we have literally 4 weeks until we have to leave. And then we can't get COVID because then, or else you're not going to make it into the bubble. And like, so we went into like kind of a bubble scenario almost immediately. like packed up all our stuff. I have a roommate, so I couldn't stay here. So I went and I was staying with like Isabel Weidman, flag bearer extraordinaire, Sobeys commercial, amazing person. And we stayed together and like, of course, like staying with her, super beneficial. She'd been to the games before. She knew what I needed. And she would like great help and everything. So that was definitely like super great, even though it wasn't like the most ideal situation because like, you like can't see your like fan, like you're outside of the friends, like you're stuck to this like bubble of like skaters are going to the games, but it was still crazy. And like once you got on the once you got into China, it was like a lot better. Like you're still stressed the whole time, but like yeah, it was super great. So
yeah, once you're there, you're there. Now I have to ask you, how was your mom doing at the time that you qualified when she was out there with you? How was she health-wise and what was that like? Obviously to all be together was so amazing.
Yeah, my mom had a kidney transplant right before the pandemic hit, which was like super fortunate, a second one, from a family friend. So super, it was super great. She's been doing super well health-wise. It's not very likely that the disease that she has comes back a second time. So it's likely it comes back the first time to attack the first donor kidney, but not very likely it comes back the second time. So she's been doing super well. Obviously like shout out to the health science department in Winnipeg. Like they have a great nephrology department, like amazing doctors and everything. So she's been doing super well. She just like struggles with energy and stuff, like often excitement, that kind of stuff. So she definitely like had to have a few naps after like I told her, and she was definitely a little bit stressed out that we were going like so far away and like that the COVID was so much of a factor. Like that definitely like stresses out someone, but like I have complete faith in my organization. I had complete faith in like the Olympic committee. I had faith in the Canadian Olympic committee. So my dad was there with her. So everything was good.
Do you remember the very first race you did at the Olympics, or what was maybe give me some highlights from your Olympic experience? Do you have one or two highlights, like your first race or the opening or how did that all go?
So I was the alternate for the team pursuit. And I was skating 1,000 meters. 1,000 meters, the only race I ended up skating. Definitely like being on the ground in the oval when the girls won gold, was definitely a highlight. Like Val and Izzy are super close friends of mine. I adore them. They've done so much for me this last year, especially like having them around. Like I love those women so much. For those who don't know, like we race one day team pursuit and it's like, heats and the four fastest times advance. One race is four and two and three race each other, like curling almost style. And then the winners like have the head to head races go into the gold medal and the losers go into the bronze medal. So we were racing the Dutch in the semifinal. The girls beat the Dutch, obviously they won the whole thing, but they beat the Dutch. And like being there and like seeing Izzy and being like, you're guaranteed 3 for 3 every race you've done at this game, like you're gonna get a medal in, was super great. So being there with them and then being like in the oval in the infield when the girls won, because it was so close, and like going into the half lap the Japanese were like leading and they had the little one, but like the Japanese girl ended up falling in the last corner, and but the girls were catching them, and I was so confused like watching the board because I'm just looking at the board because I can't see both teams going around in the middle of the oval. So the Japanese still have first going into the last split. And then our girls crossed the line and we got first. And I was like looking at these two little ones on the screen and I was so confused. I was like, what just happened? Like how? And I like turn around and I like, cause I knew the Japanese were close to us. So I thought it's a perfect tie. So I turn around and like seeing like Nana Tagagi getting off the ice. And I'm like, oh my God, like we just won. So like I'm screaming in the middle of the ice. Like the cameraman obviously like finds me super entertaining because I'm like freaking out. So he's like following me around and the girls are taking forever to come back around because they're like waving at all the crowd. I'm like, yeah, yeah, I get it. You just won a gold medal, but you're like, you have to come to me. So yeah, it was like, there's like, this great picture of me like hugging them. Izzy's like crying. It was amazing. Like Val's fiance was there. He skating with us. He runs up. Like it was definitely this great moment. So that was amazing. Yeah. But my personal like best moment of the games was for sure like my race in the 1,000 meter. I had spent like days visualizing me going to the line because I knew what it was going to be like and I didn't want to get thrown off. Yeah. So I was like visualizing me being on the screen, like how I would wave because I was going to wave and that kind of stuff, and like didn't change up anything. And it was just like this perfect moment. Because like, of course, you've been to the games, like the games brings up a lot of stress. Yeah. And like you go through a lot during those like few weeks you're there, even like even if you don't think you're going to go through it. So it was just a lot. And I was like, I don't even care. Like I do an individual sport, like obviously. So I was like, I'm in my own head. I know what I can do. I can do this. I like, and I had like the best race of my life. PB opener. Like I had done a PB tempo the day before. So I knew I was going to have a fast lap, had a fast lap. Remmel's just like yelling at me that I'm on a good one, my coach. And I just, it was like that perfect tunnel vision moment because we didn't have like, there's a few spectators, but like, just like the team Canada crowd, like that it can't come out, like our IST team in the stands, like everything. It was like, it was great. It was great to have everyone there. I felt like the support, and I definitely like had a great race. So
That's amazing. What an amazing moment for you. And I love though, how one of your highlights is a race you didn't even skate in. And you were so happy for the girls on your team. And, but how, like how amazing that feeling of experiencing that gold right along with them and being like, I love that. Yeah. You're entertaining for sure. Yeah, but like, even having that feeling, that's got to spur you on. And that even teaches you a little bit, right? It prepares you for the next time you're going to be in that situation.
Yeah. We definitely went through a lot as that Team Pursuit team, like in the days running up, like the Olympics is stressful. You go through things and that kind of stuff. And like, I definitely like, I trust the girls with all my heart and I know the girls trust me. And I, like, I was there to support them. Like I'm going to be selfish and say, if like, I wasn't there, like, I don't think we would have done as good. Like, I think I helped like in some way. And yeah, I definitely like having them there and like having that community, was super great. And I was of course ready at any moment, like to come in and like be there. And I think that's like a huge difference between me and like a lot of the other countries. Like, I don't think the girls in the other countries was as dedicated to this like medal. And like, they were as ready to be also be racing. Like they're like, oh, I'm not in the starting lineup and I'm not even going to get ready. Yeah. Like that wasn't me. So, I definitely think that like, that's great. Like, obviously, we show that like as Canadians that we're good at team sports, like the women's hockey and like even like this ski jumpers, like, and I think the aerialists too, great at like team events. Cause like, I think like in Canada, we like have that community and that kind of stuff. So for sure.
But a great example to all young athletes that are on teams and how, you know, without a shadow of a doubt, and I understand this and I would absolutely agree. There's no doubt in my mind that the role you played absolutely made a difference. It makes a difference. And it always has in any team event I've ever been involved in. And you've just, you know, you've shared that with us in such an amazing way. We can see it. We can see the difference that you made. So this Olympic experience now is behind you. All the stress that came with it, all the growing up you had to do and the extra challenges that you faced, Alexa, what does this do for you for the future? What are your goals? Do you have big goals going forward? And you certainly haven't taken the skates off yet.
No, yeah, I definitely have goals, like huge goals. This quad was a little bit messed up with COVID and like going from junior to senior and having all that loss. So I'm definitely like inviting in an easier quad in my like life. Like, not that the work's gonna be any easier, but like just like to like enjoy like the moment more. Yeah. I feel like as a junior, you always fight so hard for your shot, and I'm still gonna fight hard for like things, but I'm not so much just to like be known or whatever. Like, I'm going to do what I can do. And I think like everything that comes with that will just come, you know? So I definitely like have huge goals. Like, I'm going to go to the next Olympics, like guns a-blazing. A good friend of mine that went with me, he's going all guns a-blazing. And I think like having that community of people that have, we had a lot of rookies on this team, like having more rookies, like, we're going to be veterans next time. And like having that together, like that community is going to be huge for us. So we're going hard for the next Olympics for sure. World championships in between. Like, of course, like I think in skating, like one of my earliest memories before even be like, I'm going to be Olympic champion was being, I want to be a world champion. Like, I want to like try out some like world sprints. I want to try out some world all arounds. Like, I want to have that opportunity. National records are meant to be broken. World records are meant to be broken. So like, those are things that like I want to go for and I'm pushing for. And we have a great IST, we have a great like support staff here, and I feel like I could have the opportunity to become the best athlete I can be. We had a lot of great female athletes in speed skating come from Manitoba, Cindy Clausen, Clara Hughes, Shannon Rempel, Brittany Schuessler, and I just want to be like the next one of them.
Absolutely. The standard's been set pretty high, and you are right here, Alexa. We can hardly wait to watch you for the next while for sure. Alexa, we've got some rapid fire questions to end our conversation. And I guess the first thing is, you're younger than a lot of the guests that we have sometimes, but let's think way ahead. You're 100 years old. Mm-hmm. What is the story you most love to tell?
I definitely think the whole Team Pursuit story is going to be like a staple in my book for a long time. Also just like 2019, like going through my mom's like other transplant, like I was, my dad and I were running on all cylinders. Like I just remember like I'd get up at 7 a.m. and my dad would already be gone. And I'd go to practice in the city. So that was an hour away. So I'd drive to practice. I'd practice. I'd go visit my mom. I'd work sometimes for 4 hours. And then I'd come back into the city and I'd skate in the middle of like the cold. And then my dad and I would always go visit mom from like 9 p.m. to like midnight when they're like, you know, like visiting hours are really over. So you got to go. And we go somewhere like Salisbury House, classic Manitoba, get something to eat. And we go home. We get be in bed by like 2. And we'd like sleep for those 5 hours and like keep going. And I just think it shows like how much as a person you can push, and like definitely like I cracked hard, so like definitely how hard like you can crack it sometimes, so but you make it through. I think that's a good story.
That's a great story, an unbelievable story really, and at the age you were doing that at too, it's just an incredible story. Who or what do you think people see when they see you, and is there something different you wish they would see?
I definitely feel like a lot of people think I'm just like lucky in a way. And I got lucky. Obviously I know I'm lucky in my circumstances with my parents and everything. And like, as a white straight woman, I'm a very privileged person, but I think we know now from like this talk, like I've gone through quite a bit of adversity in my life and I've been through a lot. And I just like, I would like people to know that, like, even though sometimes I come off as reserved and that kind of stuff, especially like in skating, like I'm a little bit more within myself. Like, it's not because I think I'm better than anyone or if I'm snotty or that I just got lucky. Like, I've been through a lot and I'm just trying to make the best of like the opportunities that I'm getting. And sometimes I can't focus on too many things. So yeah.
Yeah. I think we all really just want to have people see us how we really are. And I think that you sharing your story today has really helped us to see exactly who you are. And I love how you said just there, you said, well, some people think I'm lucky, and I think I'm lucky with my parents and my family. And that presented some of your greatest challenges and the amazing parents that you were given and what strength your mom has shown you. But not all of us would think that was lucky. And your mom, wow, what an amazing and an incredible human being. What is something people would be surprised to know about you?
I think a lot of people are surprised to know that I'm a huge curling fan. I definitely got a lot of like, you really like curling? Like when I went to the games, like talking to like John Morris and Mark Kennedy. So I think a lot of people would be surprised to know that. I'm also like adopted from birth. And a lot of people are surprised by that because everyone says I look quite like my dad, because I guess we have the same like kind of nose. Like he gets this little curved nose. So a lot of people get surprised by that. But yeah, it's just like kind of a known fact now.
That's cool. Well, at the speed you run, I think curling might surprise some people. That's awesome. Yeah. Okay, what exhausts you?
I am a very external person. So being around a lot of people, being in a crowd environment, that exhausts me, because I just like focus on everything. Like I'm a chronic eavesdropper, I feel like. Not because I'm trying to be nosy, but just like I can't help it. My brain just like branches out. And like having a lot of conversations like with people that I really want to like me. So like I feel like I get really nervous and anxious in like social situations. So that like kind of exhausts me, which kind of goes around with the crowd thing. Like that's a lot. So
for sure. And then on the other side, what energizes you?
So me time sometimes like energizes me a lot. Being out in the mountains, being out in the fresh air, like working out, like always like energizes me. Obviously, like I love to lift. I'm getting into running. My boyfriend and I like took up disc golf. It's a big like like fun sport out here in Calgary. Like, I think it's everywhere, but like, it's really popular out here. That's fun. Slowly but surely, I will learn to like the bike. I don't love the bike right now. This classic Manitoba speed skater thing. Shannon Rempel, my coach from Manitoba, also famously doesn't like the bike, but we're getting there.
You're getting there. What was a moment, and I think we've heard some moments of intense joy, but what was a moment of intense joy that you have experienced in your life?
Probably making my first junior team. The year before, I like was really nervous going into junior trials. I was like so tight and tense and wouldn't eat, and I was nervous, and I did bad, like fair and square, I did bad. And the next year we went to Fort St. John racing, and like the overall is called the Samlog in speed skating. When the Samlog works out for you, when you have four good races in a row, it feels nice. So like just having like that good moment, like having Tyler there with me, making my junior team after the 3K, knowing I'm going, like having him there, it was great. Trying on my first Canada suit. There was me and another girl. She was also a rookie going to juniors. Having her there with me, like we were like super excited trying on our suits. So yeah, that was definitely a moment of intense joy.
Love it. Okay. Two or three people who have influenced you, and how did they impact your life?
So definitely my parents. Obviously I've talked about them a lot. They're always there for me. They always sacrifice their day-to-day, what they wanted to like give me the life I wanted, taking me to practice and everything. That for that I'm forever grateful. Obviously Tyler, he showed me not only how to be a great athlete, but also how to be a great person. He loved the sport more than anyone else I know. And he showed me like that, like the love of my sport goes further than just being good at it or just being like talented, just like everything. Like I'm forever grateful to him. I think about him all the time when I'm racing and everything. So it's great. And I had a teacher in Verdon, a fourth grade teacher. His name is Will Noseworthy, Mr. Noseworthy. And we had to do a school project, and I was like, it was like, where were you born? And I was born really far up north in Manitoba. And I was very like shy of that because of course I was adopted at that time. And I was shy to like tell people I was adopted. So I didn't want to like put really far up north Manitoba because people were like, a lot of people in Verdon were born around Verdon. It's a small town. You have a resort back to where you've been. And I was like, I was really embarrassed. So he just let me put like generalized Manitoba. And he's like, he told me that like, all because he's married to a man, he's gay, and that was definitely like some adversity he went through in his life. And great man, I know his partner too, he's a great man and everything. And he just like helped me like understand that like families come from all different like walks of life, and like people come together and to be families. And that was just like, that helped me out a lot with like that insecurity inside me from like being adopted and like that stuff. So he was a great man. So
incredible. Like, I'm speaking to a 21-year-old. I feel like you've experienced more life than most of us and have made it through things that are so challenging. And yet, you know, you voice how you feel that you've been on a fortunate path, even with the difficulties that you faced, and you have embraced them. That's why I think you feel fortunate, because you are an incredible human being and you have just taken those opportunities and those challenges and you have made them amazing opportunities. And I just think that's incredible. You've inspired me today. You've inspired all of us. And I think we're going to be so cheering for Alexa Scott in the next many years. And as the World Championships and Olympics go by, I know that we will see you doing more incredible things. Thank you for joining us today. I'm so thankful that your mom's doing well and that your family is good, and that you come to us with such a perspective of what's really important. And that will help you be the best you can be. I have no doubt in my mind. So Alexa Scott, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a pleasure talking to you too. It's great.
And that's Alexa Scott's story. Well, so far. Being as young as she is, there's a lot more story yet to come. What a journey for this young lady. She said it herself, constantly fighting just to make it. Living through heartbreaking loss, watching her incredible mother living life to the best of her abilities, regardless of her health challenges. And a pandemic. Can you imagine as she is freed of some of these things? Look out, world. Alexa's coming, and she is a hero in our midst. Brought to you by Elite Sports Injury. With 5 locations in Winnipeg, they are here to help us when we need physiotherapy or massage therapy. Your body's worth it. make the time for yourself. Hey, speaking of time for yourself, if you enjoyed Alexa's story today, subscribe to Heroes in Our Midst so you don't miss the next one. They just keep coming. Check out drtoogood.com as well for past episodes. And thanks for listening.